You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are the Rainy Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard. And you know what? I'm just not feeling this. We have to correct a very important thing that didn't happen last night. Sam, did you listen to that show with Jay
and Fred? I did. Kat? It was an infuriating first minute and a half. And
yeah,
it settled into a very nice discussion with Fred Katz, but the start
show,
was got my blood boiling.
Yeah. So we've gotten a million tweets on this. The Millie song didn't play, and that is the best part of this podcast.
We peak early every episode.
Yeah, I mean, our basketball knowledge is fine. Our takes are funny sometimes, but the Millie's thing at the beginning, we cannot deprive the people of. Let's just do it again. It didn't happen yet. We're going to do it twice today. Let's
run
do
it back.
Again. Do it.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
All right, that feels better. Now we're ready to go. I feel good. I feel alive. We're ready. We're going to talk about that big weird meme 16 that you got going on.
Well, the Celtics Twitter madness from March. Yeah, meme 16
madness from March
Thursday.
Yep, we've got that coming up. We've got a little discussion about the game that we haven't had a chance to react to. And that last 2-minute report, which was wild, fun, kind of interesting to piss off the Oklahoma City Thunder fans. We're going to talk about all that, and it's all going to be brought to you by MyBookie. If you haven't signed up for MyBookie, it's not too late. That NCAA tournament is still going on. March Madness is there for you. You can cash in like Sam Jam Packard has, and we'll talk about that a little bit more coming up. But first, today the NBA put out its lovely and last 2-minute report. And in the last 2-minute report, they basically revealed that the Celtics got away with like a bunch of different things at the end before they won that game. A 5-second violation for Marcus Morris.
Oh, definitely.
Inbounding the ball.
Everyone watching it live could see that.
He traveled before hitting the shot, and also Terry Rozier traveled twice in the end of that game. And it all boils down to a big who gives a shit, except from the Oklahoma City perspective, because I'm sure the fans there do give a shit that they had opportunities to win that game and they didn't. The referees blew a lot of calls. There were no missed calls on the Oklahoma City side. So, yeah. Hey, sorry, OKC.
You got to make your free throws. None of this is a story. It's all just a funny afterthought. If Carmelo makes one or two, Russ makes one of those. I mean, the whole last 2-minute report is kind of, I'm all for the general idea of transparency, but it feels like there's no real purpose to these reports. Like, you're not going to change the results of the game. It's basically either and it doesn't get any attention unless a play is, like, horribly wrong. Basically, you're just calling out your referees for making mistakes, and it just, I don't see how it's a productive system whatsoever.
Yeah, so there are a couple things happening here. The NBA, I think, has reacted to a bunch of things that went wrong earlier in the NBA's history. And so you've got a league that has a perception about its refs and no real transparency going back a few years. And people would have these opinions that the refs are favoring certain teams. In Boston, people say, oh, the NBA hates Boston. Outside of Boston, they say, oh, the NBA loves Boston. And they point to certain calls. There's always, if you eliminate enough of certain peripheral things, you can get an argument to support your conspiracy theory. All a conspiracy theory needs to be is somewhat plausible. So they are reacting years ago. They were reacting years ago to all of that. And they're trying to get some level of transparency out there. But now there is an added element of future gambling revenue. And I think this is why the NBA is not going to get rid of the last 2-minute report. If anything, they're going to expand the last 2-minute report and either do an entire fourth quarter or do an entire game or something. I think the NBA, because they have taken a lead in sports gambling and legalized sports betting throughout the United States, I think the NBA is really trying hard to make sure that the gambling community knows that there's no residual Tim Donaghy effect, that there's no truth to any sort of conspiracy theory out there.
No shenanigans whatsoever. We got a shenanigans-free last 2 minutes.
Yeah, because if they're going to make money, like look at what the NBA is trying to do. They're trying to get 1% of all of the bets placed nationally on the NBA. And that includes not just games and wins and losses and over-unders, in-game betting. They're big proponents of the in-game things that happen, you know, from quarter to quarter, who's going to win the second, who's going to be the leading scorer in the third, stuff like that. They want to be sure that every gambler can go in there and bet with confidence that the things that are happening, whether you agree with them or not, whether they're good calls or not, they are not things that are happening unjustly. There's nothing unseemly about that. I think that the NBA stance on legalized gambling is a huge driver in how they treat their officials and how they're approaching these last 2-minute reports and how they're going to react to the reaction to the last 2-minute reports. They're not going away. I think the last 2-minute report thing is here to stay. And if anything, it's going to get expanded because of this.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I just don't like, couldn't you like juke the stats on the last 2-minute report and your conspiracy is still alive? Or do you think just like the very fact that they are willing to call out non-calls is would make it so that there's no conspiracy whatsoever? I don't know. I guess I had never thought about it as deeply in terms of the NBA trying to cash in on gambling, but it makes sense just in terms of trying to have the appearance of fairness as much as possible.
Well, I think the NBA is very sensitive to all of this, and to hear hear Adam Silver speak, you will hear that he is very cognizant of how that gambling affects the NBA's decision making. In fact, I want to take this opportunity now to plug the Thursday Locked On NBA show. The Thursday Locked On NBA show does address this actual thing because Adam Silver talks to the founder of the network, David Locke, and has a wide-ranging conversation for that lasts about 10 minutes, which in an interview setting is a long time. They address specifically the gambling situation and how the NBA approaches its business in relation to that game. In fact, let me play a little bit of that right now.
You've been forward-thinking in regards to gambling. If you do get involved with gambling the way it's been talked about, do you have to eliminate anything that incentivizes losing?
That's a great question. I mean, the problem is, if you put it that starkly, that anytime you have a draft that rewards a team for poor performance, and reward by meaning the very purpose of the draft as we have it is to help the poorest performing teams restock with the best incoming players, I guess I can't answer that question affirmatively that we can eliminate anything. I think, though, that to the extent sports betting becomes legal, widespread in the United States, not just in Nevada, that we're going to have to especially focus on a lot of these integrity issues, and that, you know, it doesn't just go to those people who will be betting on the games, legally betting on the games, but it's something that goes to the heart of what a sports league is about, and that's competition. Now, my hesitation a little bit too is, you know, putting aside tanking, I'll say the word, which to me suggests players or coaches are intentionally losing games, and I think if I, as the commissioner, ever thought that was what was actually happening on the floor, of course we'd step in. But then there is a legitimate rebuilding. You see it in lots of businesses where an organization says we need to bring in new talent. It's going to take time to develop and train them, or we have some existing talent, and as you see sometimes in the league with young players that aren't getting a lot of minutes. So I'm not about to penalize a team for trading away a veteran to get draft picks, because that's how the league works. So finding and calibrating this is not an exact science, but we'll even have to spend that much more time focused on it if sports betting becomes legal.
Okay, that's NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Go subscribe to Locked On NBA. If you haven't done so already, you'll get the full conversation with the NBA Commissioner. All right, back to my point here. I do think that the NBA stance on gambling does color a lot of its decision-making, strictly because they are the lead. They're taking the lead. They're not reacting. They have to be at the forefront. And one other thing when it comes to the officiating, the NBA is unique and different from the other pro sports, NFL, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, in that basketball officials have a very unique impact on the game. You can call fouls on people that give another team points, and you can't do that necessarily in football or baseball or hockey. Hockey, maybe you can give a penalty shot, but it's such a long shot to get into that position. In the NBA, throughout the entire course of the game, there's opportunities for a crooked ref to give another team points. There's also an opportunity for a crooked ref to take players out of the game by calling multiple fouls on a guy, getting him into foul trouble, or even fouling him out, or getting him to react and giving him a tech and kicking him out. So the NBA officiating has such a unique, integral impact and has an opportunity to influence the game so much that I think it's especially in the NBA's best interest to come up with a system that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that those things are not happening. And I don't know that the last 2-minute report is the thing, but somehow they have to have a thing that shows gamblers particularly that those things that are happening, the free throws or the fouls that lead to guys sitting for extended times, those are happening organically and they're not happening through some sort of conspiracy.
I mean, there's so much referee discretion where they could pretty much call a foul on any single play. If I'm a ref and I really want to gamble, I still think I could pull it off. I think you could sprinkle in the correct amount of incorrect non-calls and incorrect calls because there is so much discretion that unless, like, the NBA gamblers analyze a bunch of plays, like last 2-minute reports from a number of different referees, how are you going to know which mistakes are mistakes and which ones are intentional?
Well, that's the thing. Like I said, I don't know if the last 2-minute report is the thing. If there's a better idea, I'm sure everybody would like to hear it. I think that transparency on the NBA's part is something that they want to at least show that we're willing to be transparent about it. That doesn't mean they're going to be able to stop every rogue person. Like, there's people
it's
bet
like
in Las Vegas.
Missed now. It's like it hasn't improved necessarily the quality of officiating.
And just because there's transparency doesn't mean there aren't people who are willing to kind of try to take advantage of a system anyway. Like, again, gambling is legal in Las Vegas in Atlantic City, but that doesn't stop people from trying to do illegal things. It doesn't stop college basketball players from trying point shaving scandals from time to time. There's always something. The hope is that if the NBA can just show everybody that, look, our policy is to be this transparent. Our officials are generally not, they want to show that the product is not being fixed. And if a rogue official like a Tim Donaghy shows up and tries to fix games, that's horrible. But if that's still one rogue official, you can survive that. Like a point shaving scandal in college. If that's a one rogue player, then that's survivable. But if it's shown to be a systemic thing, like the conspiracy theories say, well, LeBron sells and the NBA wants LeBron in the finals, so they're going to do everything they can to get LeBron in the finals. If that is somehow proven true, then there's no gambling in the NBA at all because it's the WWE and it's choreographed. The NBA wants billions of dollars from gambling. If this all goes through the way the NBA wants, they get billions of dollars and they get another big boost like they just got from the TV money. And they don't want to blow that. So if they can show and continue to prove that they are not fixed, then that's fine. Whatever rogue things happen are fine. But if it's shown that the conspiracy theories are true somehow, then no one's going to want to gamble on the game at all.
I mean, personally, I'm looking forward to gambling on the games because I spent the last weekend just gambling a bunch on college basketball. Let me tell you, it makes it thrilling.
Yes.
Gambling on the NBA sounds like a lot of fun too.
And if that opportunity does present itself, and it does through my bookie, then you might as well sign up and do it. So go ahead. It doesn't matter if your bracket's already busted. The games are still being played. There's still the remaining NCAA tournament. There's a way to cash in. Go to my bookie. And you can go and sign up and bet on the college games and
bet on join the pros, pro one too.
Bet on the pros and you can do it all at mybookie.ag. So the big thing when you're betting online is getting a runaround when you're asking for a payout. You're not going to get that at mybookie.ag. We would only recommend a service that's been good to us, and I know Sam, it's been good to you.
Let's slow that. It's been good and that's facilitated some good times, but in terms of winning,
don't blame your poor selection on the service.
I'm gonna make it all back over the next couple of days, don't you worry. But it's been a fun site. I actually had the most fun. They have these crazy like game prop bets and player prop bets, and I was just betting on the game being tied at halftime. Like, that was, like, one of my go-to bets just because you get ridiculous odds, and it's really fun to root for a tie. So the site's been really, like, really easy to use. They gave you 50% on my initial deposit, which is pretty cool. And I've been surviving, and I feel like I'm going to make it all back this weekend. The first weekend was just taking in all the information. Now I can really apply what I learned.
Whatever your system is, go to mybookie.ag. They have been good to us, at least in facilitating Sam's bets, but now they will be good to Sam when they pay off Sam's bets. Whenever he does win, and I'm sure he will, when he asks for the payout, they will give it to him without any hassle, without any delay. So you're wasting your time betting anywhere else. And again, there's in-game stuff, so whatever it is, prop bets, you know, it's second quarter, third quarter of a pro game, halftime, whatever. And like Sam said, they will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus when you use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. LOCKEDONNBA at mybookie.ag. Go to mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. Let's get back to that game a little bit.
You know we haven't I had a wish chance to talk. I bet on Mook Morris because I called because it.
You called it.
Immediately
and
right
not like
timeout,
KG called it.
I said, I want Mook taking the shot. And it doesn't matter that it was a broken play, that was trying to go to Terry Rozier or Jason Tatum. I just knew in my bones that if you wanted someone to shoot that ball with confidence, maybe travel beforehand, maybe get a 5-second violation beforehand. But if you wanted someone to shoot that with confidence, Mook Morris was the guy to do it, and he knocked it down.
Absolutely. With confidence, off balance, sidestepping, it's all good. First of all, let me just say the gif afterwards of him drinking the water and like nodding at somebody, that came out after that shot, right?
I'm pretty sure. I think they'd have to be connected. Yeah, because there was only there was 1 second left, and he was just smiling, realizing what he just did.
I want to know who he was smiling at, what that was all about. But that's an all-timer right there. Second of all, you called that shot not like Kevin Garnett called that shot. Did you see the Area 21? Kevin Garnett basically named everybody on the floor. He said at first a Morris twin was going to take that shot, and then he said Terry Rozier, and then he said Al Horford, and then Morris took the shot, and he said, I told you!
Morris twin! Just call him Morris twin.
Morris twin. One of the Morris twins, whichever one we got, whichever one's playing today, which was hilarious. I love KG, but, dude, you called out, like, half the guys on the floor. So
time is a flat circle, and all opinion. He's had all opinions at once, so I think he, no matter what happened. The thing
I loved
that was really cool about that was the fact that it was a broken play. If you heard Horford and Tatum talk about it after the game, like Tatum completely, I guess, messed up setting a double screen for Rozier, and he just did a great job improvising. Al like jumped out well after the 5 seconds. So I want to keep acknowledging that because it's funny to me. And then Tatum just made a play, head into the hoop, and found like it had a great pass to Morris. I just thought the ability to improvise after making the mistake. One, shows you just Al Horford's awareness, and two, shows you the kind of the playmaking of Jason Tatum, which I was the thing that I came away last night with. Like, first thing I was most impressed with was that gif of Mook sipping the water, and then it was Jason Tatum's just, like, playmaking and awareness and how, like, when he has much more responsibility, oh, he scores more points. What a weird thing.
it was beautiful, and it was a great example of Tatum's ability, I think, to create. So Morris inbounds the ball, and so Horford pops out, Tatum flares out, and he gets by Corey Brewer, gets into the middle of the lane. Now that is just such a dangerous spot because now all five guys are looking at him. He gets it out to Morris, and a little fake juke, and he gets that shot up. He frees up his right hand. Beautiful after the broken play. And it just goes to show that Tatum, first of all, is super smart. Second of all, super athletic to get by two guys. Corey Brewer, who's a good defender. Russell Westbrook, who was reaching in, helping off of Terry Rozier. And then that vision to get it out to Morris. Like, that shows a lot about Tatum and that he's good enough that when he's in the middle of the lane, everybody all of a sudden has to overreact to him. So a lot of fun things happening on that last play. And of course, the fact that Marcus Morris hit it is the best part of all, because you knew once he got that ball, that shit was going up.
He could have passed it to an open Al Horford, but hesitation.
Wide open Al Horford.
Marcus, Mook Morris doesn't know how to spell hesitation, which was a great quote after the game.
That was beautiful. I mean, look, Al Horford was so open. He's at the top of the key. Now, look, I understand Al Horford has been struggling offensively, and maybe Mook taking that shot off balance in a vacuum and this situation might have been the better shot. But just hilarious that if you look at the replay, there are three guys in Oklahoma City jerseys within contesting distance, and Al Horford could have taken two dribbles, set himself, still taking a wide open three. And no one would have said anything. He could have driven down the lane and probably dunked on somebody, but doesn't matter. It all works out. When it all works out, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's anti-Kaizen of us to focus on the results so much, but goddamn it, winning feels good.
Focus on the process.
The process of winning also feels good.
Okay, speaking of winning, who's going to win this March, the Madness for March tournament? Where are we here?
We have reached the Meme 16 stage, and starting tomorrow, hold on, let me pull up the brackets. This is very astute stuff.
This is scientific.
I just want to preview the Thursday matchups. We've got the number one seed in the, I believe, I don't know. I've completely forgotten the names of all the regions, but it doesn't matter. Thick Jack Framed versus the spaghetti sandwich photo or just general idea of the spaghetti sandwich.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Then we have Tito Vines versus Iso Mook. And the crazy thing about this tournament is that we just had a new GIF added to the resume of Iso Mook last night. So maybe that will put him over Tito Vines, which are absolutely electric.
That's almost unfair, that GIF of, I mean, look, this is Weird Celtics Twitter, so shit happens and there are no rules, but it's almost unfair.
Hey man, if Tito wants to get back on the Vine, he's welcome to do so. He can get
challenge.
He can get back to tweeting too. Anything he tweets from now is good game, because his tweets are going up against the idea that the 76ers Twitter is InfoWars in the meme 16, which just is a lot of fun. There's some just so many tweets I couldn't just get in there, but some solid roasting of 76ers Twitter has been going on. So check that out against Tito tweets, counting out all Lil Busters, telling them to shut up. That's perfect. And then going the last matchup is Gershon Dabusele versus Very Much Woke, just the idea of it. I expect Dabusele to do a fast run to the finals. It's almost an undefeatable thing, but Very Much Woke, strong competition.
Yeah, look, it's hard to argue with the Dabusele. It's hard to argue. When you see it, in theory, I think Very Much Woke has potential, but then you just see the arrow dab like that.
Having a GIF is very important.
That's a huge thing. Totally is.
It's how the medium works. So, I've been excited about it. People have been excited about it. Please keep voting, retweeting the campaign for who you want. Add more memes if you had them. But the meme 16 is coming up tomorrow. So look out for that.
Big. That's a big day. It's a big day. Unfortunately, there is no gambling allowed on the meme 16.
I would
otherwise
be so in on the take. Oh my god, I would stand on the.
It's exactly why you cannot bet. That's the one thing you can't bet on mybookie.ag.
I'd be very transparent about it though.
Yeah, about your take being on the take.
Yeah.
Well, you can go to mybookie.ag and bet on March for Madness. That's what you call it, right? March for Madness.
Madness for March.
Madness for March. Ah, damn it. So close. You can bet on non-Madness from March games, the actual March Madness games. And remember, use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, LOCKEDONNBA, for a 50% bonus on your first deposit at mybookie.ag. Remember, you play, you win, you get paid without hassle. You get paid immediately. And if you are not a subscriber, this is definitely a show that would inspire you to subscribe to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We hope we've done enough to get you on board. So go search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcast, anywhere on, if you're an Apple user and iTunes, we're there. If you're on Google and you want Android, you want to go to the Google Play Store, search for us there. We're there. Stitcher, any of your podcatchers, even on Spotify, search for us there. You can use your smart home device, your Alexa, your Google Home, and just use your trigger words there and search for Locked On Celtics, and it will play through your smart home device. Remember to follow us. I am at @RedsArmy_John. Sam is at @JamPacker. Jay King, who is not here tonight, probably writing something awesome for MassLive.com. He is @ByJKing. We are the Locked On Celtics. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.